If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. One of the great missionaries of modern times did his work right here in the United States. His name was Father De Smet, and he was a Jesuit priest who preached and worked with especially the Indians in the 1800s in order to work towards their conversions. And he made his way across the continent, eventually at a certain point arriving in St. Louis, where he stayed for a while until finally he was called to begin what the Jesuits had been working for quite a while. They wanted to start a mission on the other side of the Rockies, but they knew it was going to be hard, and they didn't really know what to expect when they arrived there. Father De Smet, while in St. Louis, though, his reputation had preceded them. There were tribes of Indians who had short periods of time where they had been exposed to the true faith by priests passing through in the inland Northwest, and moreover, they had had close relations with tribes from far back out east who had brought words to them telling them about the black robes and how much good that they did and how their words were true and that they left them with the means of grace and salvation and knowing the one true God, and that they hoped that one day they would also be able to work with the black robes. The Indians that were there in the inland northwest, the Flatheads and the Nez Perces and the Ponderays, they, for their part, were desirous of this very thing. But as time went on, they found that they still didn't have a priest. So they finally went out and traveled. They sent two Indians to represent them and on the long journey all the way down to St. Louis because they had heard of Father De Smet. And arriving, they asked him if he would come and preach to them and teach them and give and bring them the truth. With that, Father De Smet decided, now it is providential that I begin that work on the other side of the Rockies. And so he wrote to his superiors, and they wanted to send him out with another priest, but they didn't have the funds to do so. So in the end, Father De Smet made the long and dangerous and arduous journey into the unknown by himself. However, when he arrived, he found that indeed the words that they had been spoken to him in St. Louis were true. The Indians there in the northwest, they were desirous of the truth, and they were excited to have him, and they greeted him warmly. And with that, he got to work in all earnestness to help them. He began to instruct them in the catechism, and he lived with them and ate with them, and they became part of them. He preached multiple times a day, oftentimes four times in the day. He would give sermons to the Indians, and all of them would yearn to come and be and listen to the things that he had preached about. Even the infirm in the encampment, they would insist that they be carried out of their tents and brought to sit there and at his feet so that they could listen to the words of truth. And in the end, of course, with such eager men to gain the truths of God, many would be baptized by him and admitted to the sacraments. But the territory which Father De Smet had to work, it was a large area. And so, as you can imagine, he would oftentimes need to leave from one place for quite a long period of time. And then, when he could, he would come back and work with them some more. On one such occasion, it had been nearly a year since he had been at this particular encampment of Indians. And when he had come back to them, he returned and gave them a sermon to start off upon his arrival. He knew that it was necessary that he instruct them, because it had been so long since he had been there that they needed to prepare themselves to make good confessions. They had gone for so long without the sacrament, and moreover, he explained to them that it is a requirement of the church that everybody make a good confession at least once in the year so that they may continue on that life of grace. As he told them about all of this, he looked at one of the chiefs that was in attendance, an elderly man, much respected by all and known to always be very truthful. And the man had a bit of a look of concern on his face. So Father De Smet pulled him aside after the sermon was completed. And he asked him what was wrong. The man said he was confused because he didn't know what he was to do. Why? Father De Smet asked. What is confusing? And the chief had told him, he said, well, you said that each one of us needs to confess, but what am I to do if I haven't sinned? Father De Smet was confused by this. He said, well, surely in a year's time there are some faults that you have committed that you can bring to the sacrament of penance. Even the just man, as the scriptures say, falls 7 times in a day. So therefore, there must have been sins that have taken place in 365 of them. Well, the chief replied, in my youth, and even later on in my life, I was ignorant, and during that time, I must have often displeased God. For these, I have asked pardon. However, once I learned what was sinful, and once I had been forgiven by my baptism, I firmly banished these from my heart. I cannot remember ever deliberately having offended the Great Spirit since. And how could I, after receiving so great a gift as the forgiveness from baptism? With baptism, it is not merely what is taken away from us that we find so important. Of course, we know by those saving waters, original, and if we be adults, actual sin are stripped from our soul. But it is, additionally, what we gain by our baptisms that is important. Because we gain from God Himself. We possess Him in our souls by having sanctifying grace. Spiritually, He dwells within us. And as it is the Holy Ghost who is there in us to sanctify us. And He comes with His gifts to be able to do so. 7 of them, each to help us find our way to be more intimately united to God. One of these gifts is the gift of fortitude. Fortitude is exemplified in that sinless chief, as he has remained strong against all that has assailed him for all that time. The Catholic Encyclopedia explains that fortitude strengthens in moral courage against the evil spirit of the time, against improper fashions, against human respect, against the common tendency to seek at least the comfortable, if not the voluptuous, to be patient under poverty and privation, and to make laudable struggles. Father André Jean-Marie Amon remarks in his meditation on this gift of fortitude that unless this gift is added to virtue, we are incapable of fulfilling our duties. Ordinary strength is not sufficient to sustain nature, which is sometimes afraid at certain great sacrifices which duty imposes. Sometimes wearied by continual violence, which we must sometimes do ourselves, never to fall. Sometimes discouraged by our own weakness. What strength does it not indeed require to keep firm against a heart in which are the germs of all vices, which is besieged by temptations and solicited by passions, which is frightened by obstacles and discouraged by sorrows. Our human weakness is enough to make us wonder, how is it that we could possibly be saved? And we are correct to wonder this very thing. If we think of ourselves alone, if we consider our nature fallen as it is, it is impossible for us to obtain salvation. However, what we must remember, and what we truly celebrate on this great feast of Pentecost, is that we are not alone. We have Almighty God, and we possess Him in our hearts and our souls. And that it is not a passive existence that He has there within us, but one that is there for purpose, to aid us in the way of sanctification. That He desires us to save our souls as much as we long to be in heaven with Him. And so He gives all that He can to assist us, to bring us up above our own nature. And with the aid of the omnipotent God, then the question now truly becomes, how could we not be saved? The Holy Ghost stands ready to aid us by giving us His gifts. It is merely for us to ask Him, to call out to Him, to realize that we need them, and to be calling upon them both in our times of need and proactively before we encounter the temptations that know await us. Now, fortitude, this will not remove our human nature, nor will it take away from us temptations. But it will strengthen us in the face of temptations. It is much like courage. Courage isn't being unafraid. Courage is rather acting despite the existence of fear. The gift of fortitude is not being untempted or lacking in difficulty or struggle, but rather it is to be able to practice virtue despite the struggle, in the face of temptation, to overcome when we struggle, and to be successful in pleasing God by our actions, to persevere when we find ourselves struggling, to be confident in God despite the fact that we struggle. And ultimately, it is the gift of fortitude that will aid us to obtain the grace of final perseverance, which gains us heaven, and where we will finally realize there is no longer a struggle. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.